Railroad Along the Schoharie, Prattsville Stillborn Railroad by Richard F. Max. The Delaware and Northern endeared itself to residents of the East Branch Valley from Arkville south to the Delaware River as the major means of travel and communication during the first four decades of the 20th century. Founded in 1905 by a New York banker, Frederick Searing, the Delaware and Eastern, the original name of the railroad during the period between 1905 and 1911, was planned as part of a grand scheme to connect anthracite mines in Wilkes-Barre, Lucerne County, Pennsylvania, with commerce in Schenectady, New York. Ground was broken for the new railroad at Dry Brook in Arkville on September 14, 1905. The core of the D&D was the segment from Arkville south to East Branch. This was opened for full service on November 17, 1906, and provided linkages with the main lines of the Ulster and Delaware Railroad at Arkville and the New York, Ontario and Western Railroad at East Branch. The Andes Branch opened for service on March 23, 1907. Searing provided the new railroad with excellent station facilities to handle both passengers and freight. Heading Searing's management team was an experienced railroader, R.B. Williams, a former superintendent of the NYO&W. Under Williams's competent oversight, the railroad built its own creameries in the East Branch Valley between Downsville and Arkville to tap this lucrative dairy market. Farmers heretofore were forced to endure long wagon hauls to the railhead at UND at Arkville. Williams also tapped local business in bluestone and wood acid from small quarries and plants along the rugged lower part of the railroad between Downsville and East Branch. In Searing's Manhattan banking office, grand plans continued for the expansion of the railroad from a rural short line into a regional coal carrier. The railroad would serve as a conduit for coal and do so more economically than existing lines such as the Delaware and Hudson Railway and the New York, Ontario and Western. Searing lured investors by describing how his new line would eliminate many of the steep grades out of the Lackawanna Valley that meant increased costs for labor and materials to haul the black diamonds. But court battles with the D&H and the NYO&W temporarily blocked this project until Searing won a favorable court decision late in 1908. His engineers proceeded with the design of the line from Grand Gorge to Schenectady. Delaware and Eastern trains would operate over the Ulster and Delaware tracks between Arkville and Grand Gorge and over the Middleburg and Schoharie tracks between Middleburg and Schoharie Junction. The remainder of the line would be all new construction. Construction progressed in 1909 and 1910 on the Schenectady extension, with work concentrated in the area between Grand Gorge and Gilboa. The work abruptly halted on February 9, 1910, when Searing's bank failed because of some bond manipulations by an agent of the bank. With this bank failure, the payroll evaporated and all work ceased on the Schenectady extension. The railroad would sink into its first bankruptcy, and evidence of the plan to reach Schenectady would be scars on the countryside in Delaware and Schoharie counties. In a scant few years, evidence of the grading work north of Prattsville would be obliterated by the construction of the Schoharie Reservoir. The two major historians of the Delaware and Eastern/Northern, Thomas Archer and Gertrude Fitch Horton, both made ample reference to the construction of the D&E Schenectady extension, also referred to as the Schenectady and Margaretville Railroad, the name that appeared on stock certificates in the vicinity of Grand Gorge/Prattsville. While a number of contemporary photos of the grading survive and the nearly 80-year-long existence of the Johnson Hollow Road Underground Bridge provided us with a significant artifact of this work, little research has been done about the precise alignment. During 2005, Doug Cotto, president of the Ulster and Delaware Railroad Historical Society, a regional historical society that runs the Roxbury Depot Museum and is dedicated to the preservation of Catskill Mountain and Hudson Valley Railroad history, and your author, engaged in new research on the line. Using original railroad surveys and profiles from the county courthouses in Greene and Delaware counties, Doug mapped the alignment through the Prattsville area on contemporary use squads. The locations were further confirmed by field observations of the terrain and the use of GPS to confirm the elevations on the D&E's official profile. The map on page 7 provides a key to specific locations around Prattsville where tangible evidence of the construction exists. More telling is the concordance of these locations with a route that was mapped by Otto F. Wagenhorst, chief engineer of the Delaware and Eastern. Much more research remains to be done on the route of the Schenectady extension. One of the questions to be addressed in the future is the gap of 2 years between the Greene County and Delaware County route maps. While both maps complement one another, the extant Delaware County map begs the question as to the possible existence of an earlier version that used a separate D&E right-of-way between Arkville and Grand Gorge, pointing to the original stock issuance of the Schenectady and Margaretville. A careful check of the indices as well as physical maps at Delhi Courthouse failed to locate an earlier edition for Delaware County. Additionally, a check of maps on file at the county clerk's offices in Schoharie and Schenectady counties has not yet been pursued to determine the route of the railroad north of the Gilboa Reservoir. Tantalizing traces, however, exist in North Blenheim and Brakebyn. We also know that Frederick Searing, president of the D&E, made an arrangement with the Middleburg and Schoharie to use the tracks of that short railroad. Presumably, the investment in the M&S would have provided that railroad with an improved road necessary for the operation of heavy coal trains. So much more remains to be learned about the Delaware and Easton's 20-year quest to become a major player in the haulage of coal to New York Capital District. While our focus has been on the extension to Schenectady, it is important to summarize the narrative of the railroad after the bank failure. The railroad emerged from bankruptcy in 1911 as the Delaware and Northern and was under the 10-year management of court-appointed receivers. Ironically, the first receivership was a generally profitable period for the railroad. After World War I, more financial troubles again forced the railroad back into bankruptcy court with new receivers appointed in 1921. Dramatic action had to be taken to stem the flow of red ink. Wages were cut and station agents eliminated. The marginal Andes branch, the newest part of the railroad, was closed down in March 1925 after only 18 years of operation. In 1926, to reduce passenger train costs, the railroad purchased a gasoline-propelled coach from the Brill Company, noted primarily as a trolley car manufacturer, to provide passenger, mail, an express service. The car quickly acquired the sobriquet the Red Heifer because of its dull red color and its galumphing motion on the railroad's irregularly maintained track. The bankrupt railroad was purchased in 1929 by Sam Rossoff, a Nike subway contractor who had bought the railroad in speculative anticipation of the construction of the Papacton Reservoir. Rossoff saw dollar signs with his Catskill Railroad hauling materials for the Third Great Catskill Reservoir. His investment, however, didn't pan out, as the Depression and World War II delayed the construction of Papacton. After much negotiation, the railroad between Downsville and Arkville was sold to New York City for the reservoir, and Rossoff covered some of his losses through the sale of the railroad's iron to support the war effort. The Delaware and Northern became another legend of the East Branch Valley on October 17, 1942, when the Red Heifer snorted down the tracks for the last time. The author, Richard F. Max, has been in railroading for 41 years, retiring from the Long Island Railroad in 1997. An independent consultant specializing in schedule development and computer simulations of railroads, Dick has served as webmaster, editor, and secretary/treasurer of the Ulster and Delaware Railroad Historical Society for the past 10 years. He resides in New Jersey.